Mr. Feeney? Mr. Feeney? Mr. Feeney!
Okay, now we're recording. Yes. Yes, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Dun, dun, dun.
It is the one we've all been waiting for, and I've got facts, I've got figures.
Stats. We got charts. There are visual aids. There's going to be a PowerPoint presentation.
Yep, that you can't see because this is not a visual platform. So,
yeah.
Sorry about you.
You know what? You can't prove there's not a PowerPoint running right now either. So
exactly.
Say that. Hi, welcome to the Feeney Call.
This is the Feeney Call. I am Megan.
I'm Skylar.
And today we are talking about Season 5, Episode 17, And Then There Was Sean, which of course is a play on Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None. So
it's the spooky one.
It is a spooky one. It is the, a lot of people call it a Halloween episode, which is not true. It actually came out, hang on, I didn't pull up the exact release date, so give me 1 second.
I thought it came out in like March.
It is not a Halloween episode. It premiered February 27th, 1998.
Oh, okay.
So we're March. Yeah, we're not even like remotely in the ballpark of Halloween.
No, but they, because so. They're, I mean, think about it. They were airing the show during like the school year and
yes.
Like, in real-ish time. So we just had Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we also already had a Halloween episode this season. It was The Witches of Pembroke. So
right, and that aired in October at Halloween. So
at an appropriate time.
happens to be a delightfully spooky episode, and as we've both said, among our favorites.
Absolutely.
One of the most memorable, for sure. And as a child, very scary to me.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was not a horror movie person at all, and so I understood the concept that there were a lot of like Scream references in this, and that Jennifer Love Hewitt was in I Know What You Did Last Summer, but I really didn't understand until I actually watched Scream for the first time, which was actually last year. It was 2019. 2019 was the first mm-hmm. time I ever saw Scream. So obviously, when Eric answers the phone and he's like, "Do you like scary movies? What's your favorite one?" I was like, I did like the pointing at the TV, like, "I know what that is. I know what that is."
From Scream. I understood that reference. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have Scream references. Obviously, we have Scream Queen Jennifer Love Hewitt. We have South Park references when Eric says "Heidi Ho" and when he says "Oh my gosh, they killed Kenny." Both South Park references. Scooby Doo. We have them running through the halls. Eric jumping into Jack's arms. We have all kinds of random references from scary movies and otherwise in this episode. It's honestly just 21 minutes of a good time. There's nothing really serious or like weighted about this episode per se. They really just made
Excuse you, there's a murderer.
There is
a murderer. I think I take that pretty seriously. All right.
But it's like metaphorical.
Let's go ahead and let's put it on the record that Megan has just claimed that murder is
not
that serious. Not
that serious. Right. Stitch it into a
there's some gruesome murders here, okay?
There are.
Kenny and the pencil, Feeney and the scissors, those are some serious things.
It's true. I feel like it gets more tame as it goes because the pencil through Kenny's head, like that's a really serious, like that's gruesome. And then by the end, it's just like, oh, he's pushing books onto people.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, they had to get to the end of the episode. They're running out of time.
That's true.
But it's a blast. We love it.
Yes.
We've already said some fun facts. You have something specific? Yes.
Some more fun facts would be when they aired this originally on Disney Channel. So Mr. Feeney has a line at the beginning, "This class will not be interested in the romantic goings on of its students than it is with whatever the hell I'm teaching." And Disney Channel edited it a lot to remove when Feeney says "whatever the hell I'm teaching." So I have not actually watched this episode on Disney Channel, I think ever, but apparently when they were doing reruns, there was a very heavy edit of that. And there was also a version of this that was edited that didn't have the virgins are going to live. Well, I'm going to die. Oh, I'm going to die. I'm going to get as sick as possible before I die. Apparently there's a version of this with that edited out as well.
Dun, dun, dun.
Joe Turkle, the janitor, this is his final acting role. Also, Richard Lee Jackson, who plays Kenny, His younger brother, Jonathan Jackson, plays Ricky, the guy who goes out with Topanga and kisses her and gives her the inspiration to get back with Corey, which I found interesting and I didn't actually know before this research rabbit hole.
Interesting. I did not know that one. Yeah. I gotta say, this censorship shit, hilarious.
It is.
Absolutely hysterical that in editing this episode, the powers that be decided that no, we cannot say the word hell and we cannot possibly reference virginity, but it is perfectly acceptable to stab a student through his head with a pencil and impale said teacher in the back with sharp scissors. Those two things are perfectly acceptable for Children's Network television, but the word hell and the mention of virginity is off limits, and that's insane.
Well, and I don't even know why they edited this, because this is one of only two episodes of Boy Meets World to be rated TV-PG. So we knew that going into it that it was had a higher rating than the others because of the language. Eric also says bastards at one point. There's obviously thematic elements of murder.
It's a decidedly more grown-up episode, yeah.
Yes, the only other Boy Meets World episode that's rated TV-PG is Brotherly Shove in the last season.
Is that when Sean starts drinking again?
I think that one is where Eric and Corey have their garage sale, yes. Eric and Corey have, which I don't know what's happening with, hang on, let me read. Eric feels hurt when Corey invites Sean and Topanga to clean out the garage instead of him, and it makes him feel like Corey doesn't want to hang out with him anymore. Meanwhile, Jack and Sean spend some brotherly time together but can't seem to find anything in common, which, what? haven't we actually had an episode?
Why is that episode? Like that all right, before? We're going to have to wait till we get there. I don't know why that episode will be rated more harshly than the drinking episode coming up next, or like,
yeah, or when Corey actually have sex for the first time. It's supposed to make a topless in bed. Like, what? Are you serious?
Yeah.
This show.
Censorship and ratings. I mean, it's not even just the show, though. That's like the American rating system being
it's so true.
An aggressive, strangely puritanical, but otherwise relaxed, like, it's such a weird mix of morality in American ratings. Like, I talk about this actually with the mom for the kids I nanny, because like there are so many like children's programs that are rated for certain ages or whatever. The American rating system pretty much just like ignores violence.
Yeah. Like, oh, 1,000%.
Tremendously ignores violence and tremendously ignores most like male body things.
Yes.
Like anything about a men's body or violence is like completely tame and doesn't matter. But the second it's about a woman's body or a bad word or like, for instance, a strange rating thing. If your film features like a female orgasm versus a male orgasm, there those are rated differently.
Those are
rated differently, and there are different rules about what you can show and hear when it comes to a female orgasm and a male orgasm.
That's the stupidest thing in the entire world. I just don't understand what the thought process is even behind
it. Technically speaking, a male orgasm is allowed to be like heard but not seen in like a PG-13 film, but like a female orgasm is not allowed to be heard or seen in a PG-13 film or something. It's something like that. It's something where they're not held to the same standard.
Of course not. Have we ever been?
Right. So anyway, the rating system in America is tremendously fucked up anyway, so I'm not all that surprised, but it just, this kind of points it out that like, no hell, no virgins. Stab the boy with a pencil. That's fine. The kids can watch that.
That's okay. Doesn't
like,
matter.
If the concern is like a child is going to learn something or attempt to imitate something from the show, is it worse if they say hell, if they happen to have an understanding of virginity, or if they try to stab their classmate through the head with a pencil? Like, which one of those is the worst for real life replication?
Exactly.
I think it's pretty obvious that it's trying to stab your classmate with a pencil, so.
Yeah. Yeah, especially now, I feel like then it was just like, like whatever, like Columbine hasn't even happened yet. And now it's like school shootings are like an everyday occurrence. It's just a thing that we deal with now as Americans. And so I feel like violence in school should instantly be taken more seriously nowadays than fucking talking about being a virgin in high school. Like who gives a shit?
I'll tell you whatever. Who gives a shit. The MPAA. Anyway, fuck it. Who cares? there's, and it probably already exists, there's an interesting podcast to be made about the history of, like, the MPAA and American rating systems and its influence on pop culture and film and television history.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'd be very interested to read or listen to something about it. Are we ready for a recap? And it's...
Yeah. Oh,
I'm so mad that it's me.
It's your turn. Have fun.
Are you sure you don't want to take over for like one episode?
No, all you enjoy.
3, 2, 1. So Corey, Sean, and Topanga, Angela, and Kenny find themselves in detention after this whole spiel with a pencil that Sean gets mad. Kenny's trying to borrow a pencil. He thinks he's hitting on Topanga. He's upset that Corey and Topanga are apart. So then Corey and the whole group in detention, things start getting really weird when this like really pale-faced janitor goes by. And then all of a sudden, Kenny winds up dead. There's a bloody message on the board that says no one gets out alive. They find Feeny dead. Eric and Jack show up to kind of help with the situation. All of this is going through until we see Sean actually reveals that he's the killer, and that's my time. And then Sean deals with his big emotions.
Emotions. And then the little stinger that there was actually a killer there the whole time.
That part always scared me a lot when I was a kid, actually.
Yes.
I mean, the whole episode always like scared me, but the end was always the scariest part when this like motherfucker just runs out and was like, and then you're like, what the fuck? So is there actually a killer in the school? Like, I know it's just a fun tag. It's a fun little stinger. But, like, I don't know, man. That implies that there was, in fact, actually some murderer there. Or at least some Sean's creepy motherfucker wearing a skull face mask, because Ghostface is trademark Scream.
Yeah, true. Anyway, what'd you learn?
That it's not always your fault, I guess.
Yeah,
I forgot that's what we do. I was like, I didn't even think about it. I was just like enjoying the episode, and I was now what I learned. I don't know. It was just a good time. I think the big takeaway here is that like has to do with this idea of like your lived experiences and their biases that creates. Okay. And so Sean has this tendency to immediately accept blame for any bad thing in his friends' lives because historically he has often been the cause of several bad things in their lives, and that created this kind of this bias in him where that's his predisposition. And so I guess the big takeaway would be that like your previous experiences will inform your present responses, but will not define them.
Okay. I like
that. I was reaching. I was kind of reaching.
I would agree with that. I think the only issue that I had in this episode is Feeny says something about this is the very first time that like...
Right, for the first time ever, it's like, not your fault. I was like, yes, ouch.
And I was like, whoa. It's like, he already got this spiel, I'm sure, when his parents split up. Like, he has already heard this before, I'm sure. From Turner, for God's sakes. Even if he didn't hear it from Chet or from his mom, which I'm sure he did hear it from his mom all the time in the letters that she wrote him. I'm sure Turner was like, dude, it's not your fault.
Right.
He's heard this before, and it's just... Yeah, I had a problem with Feeny saying that for the very first time, which is kind of why I was like, okay, is this last sequence still a dream?
Ooh.
That's my hot take on this, is I think that last sequence is still a dream in detention, and or the entire thing is a dream, like a Sean dream, because... Yeah. Why is there a killer in the school still? That seems...
Sure.
It seems like a continuous manifestation of Sean's emotions. It's lingering still. It's still there. Even though we now solve the problem and we realize it's not his fault, potentially, he hasn't completely gotten over it, so it's still lingering. Also, the fact that Feeny said something that doesn't feel in Feeny character. I feel like this line that Feeny says is not. It doesn't. It feels like something that Sean would expect Feeny to say, as opposed to something Feeny would actually say.
I like this theory. This is fun.
Thanks.
Is this something you? Is this something you read, or is this your own fabrication?
No, this is my own. This is completely my own.
I enjoy that. I've never considered it that way. I have always been bothered by Feeny saying, like, for the first time ever, it's not your fault.
Yep.
And then, obviously, the little stinger of the guy running out at the end is something I've always kind of shrugged and said, like, ah, it's fun. I think that your theory it holds water. I agree with you in that. If it's a dream within a dream, right? Like, Sean wakes, he's in Inception, and he wakes up from the killer level, and now he's in the lesson level, and then wakes up. Mm-hmm. From that off screen or whatever.
Potentially even at home in bed.
I like this. This is fun. This is interesting.
And this is something that we obviously will see later when Corey is having dreams about killing Sean. He wakes up from a dream.
He ends
and is
up
still
in a dream.
Yeah. And so it's not something that Boy Meets World is shy about or shies away from.
I like it. I'll support this theory. I was not sure at first if I would, but I support this. This is good. Because I think it worked. I think it answers the two big outlying questions, which is, like, why would Feeny say this thing?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of mean. And like, not true to Feeny's impression of Sean.
Yes, correct.
And then why is there this skull-faced dude sneaking out of the classroom after everyone leaves? And it's, boom, it's because we're still in Sean's dream. I like it. Because then what happens, too, is, like, Sean comes to the understanding largely, entirely, on his own, then.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is, okay, so my lesson from the episode is hard things are going to happen in life that you can't control, and you can't be afraid to feel those big feelings when you are feeling helpless, when there's something that is out of your control. You need to process and feel those feelings. You can't project that onto the people around you. You have to take the time, process, be in your feels, whatever you got to do, and then you can start to see things a little clearer. Otherwise, it's going to cloud your judgment if you're projecting and you are trying to manipulate or control the situation, which is what Sean is trying to do at the beginning of the episode when he's like, it's not just about the pencil, Kenny, which I think is hysterical and one of my favorite Ryder moments in the whole series. When he snaps at Kenny, he does such a good job. It's so funny. So don't be scared to feel your feelings. There are things in this world that we're not going to be able to control and that are scary and that are going to turn everything up on its head. And we got to feel those feelings, and we can't project them onto the people that we love or the people that we interact with.
That's good. That's better than what I had.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know this show's not a competition, as it once was in our minds when we were starting this thing and we thought it might be like a competition.
Yeah.
But if it were, today you would have won. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Oh, God, just what a feather in my cap.
Yeah, go ahead.
Take my victory lap now.
Uh-huh.
And you can't see. I'm dancing on my bed, obviously. People can't see it, but this is my victory lap.
You're dancing right next to the PowerPoint presentation that's running.
Yeah, exactly. That's, it's happening.
These things are so good for audio formats.
Right. Yep. I think so, personally.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that also ties into the whole kind of still in Sean's dream, whatever, trying to process his feelings. There's still that manifestation of the killer. He's processing through everything himself. He's processing through his big feels. He's coming to terms with the fact that he is not controlling the situation, that he can't manipulate the situation. And he does that through Feeny, which is, again, not the first time we've seen this in the show. We just saw it with A Very Topanga Christmas. Corey envisions Feeny as the ghost of Christmas future because he is the wise sage that is over everything. And so I am a firm believer that we're still in Sean's dream and that he is coming to all of this on his own, at his own pace, There you go.
I love that. I love that. That's great. You know what?
And that's
I
the hope, show.
that's so good. Okay, so I just finished reading this book, How to Change Your Mind, by Michael Pollan.
Yes. Yeah,
which I think we talked about. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's about hallucinogenics, basically.
Yeah.
And so that's, my mind's kind of in that space right now. And so what this makes me think is basically, if I were to do like psilocybin-assisted therapy or like ayahuasca or any number of hallucinogenics, not just in like a strict like take it, sit in my room by myself kind of setting, but like in a more therapeutic setting, either like a more traditional shaman setting or some of these like psilocybin-assisted therapy research studies that have been going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would hope that in that setting, I would find myself confronted with William Daniels as Mr. Feeney
yes.
to work through whatever it is I'm working through.
Yes, that is the only, he is the only one. If I went in and I saw like Kevin Bacon or some shit, I'd be like, I'm done. Bye.
I would assume that like I would probably see like a family member in some way. And I know that I would be a little disappointed that it's not William Daniels as
Feeney. Yes. That is what I want.
Yeah.
We're going on an ayahuasca retreat. taking Quinn, we're taking Sarah. The four of us are going on a Feeney Call Business ayahuasca retreat where we will aspire to see Feeney.
Great.
So if anyone wants to sign up for the ayahuasca retreat.
Down to South America.
I
hope that Feeney appears as my spiritual guide of some kind.
Yes. To guide you on this journey of life. Wandering down this road that we call life. That's what we're doing.
Oof. It would be so exciting.
I was about to ask you who your MVP is. We're not even close to MVPs yet. I've got notes.
I was about to say, you got notes? Like, where are we at? We got things to talk about.
So,
we have the mention of Neve Campbell, obviously.
Yes.
Which is a joke many layers deep.
Of course, yes. Because we obviously have the Scream reference.
But Neve Campbell was also on Party of Five with Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Correct.
And exactly. So, like, the joke of, like, the hottie hot hot from Party of Five, Neve Campbell being said by Jennifer Love Hewitt, who is theoretically also the, quote, hottie hot hot from Party of Five.
Yes.
But Neve Campbell, who was obviously in Scream, and
The Craft. I mean, she was in The Craft, but no one else in Boy Meets World was in The Craft. But Ryder Strong and Ben Savage also made guest appearances on Party of Five. A lot of crossover.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's funny. A lot of crossover.
I never watched Party of Five.
Neither did I. Of course, Jennifer Love Hewitt and Will Friedle were dating at the time of this. How she ended up on the show was they approached Will and they were just like, hey, man, we'd love to have Jennifer on the show. And then he approached her and she was like, yeah, sure. And so they brought her
into this. I also didn't know that. That's
really?
Funny. No, that makes it way funnier. Oh, my God. No, I never knew that.
Yeah.
That makes everything even funnier than it already is.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, so then she came on the show just because they wanted to have her, and she was like, yeah, absolutely. This is great. I'd love to.
No, I mean, that just makes, like, his, like, very aggressive introduction to her, as well as his reaction to her death. The two of those things are just even, like, so much funnier now, knowing that they're dating. I did not know that, but that is...
Oh, I'm so glad. Cool.
Thanks for sharing.
Impart that knowledge upon you. Yeah, I think... So last year, they all got together on a Zoom session. I think it was Ben Savage, Daniel Fishel, Will Friedle, Matthew Lawrence, Trina McGee, and then I think they brought in Mr. Feeney, but not for the replay of the episode. They did like a Zoom conference where they all rewatched the episode together and did like fun facts behind the scenes. Trina talked about being pregnant and having to like scream and run around, which is, we also talked to her about that when we had the privilege of interviewing her. But yeah, so anyway, they all got together and did that last year. And Will talked about bringing Jennifer onto the show and the fact that they were dating at the time because they had just starred in Trojan War together in 97. And I feel like this would have been something that would have landed a lot better were we 5 years older than we actually are. If we had been a little more inundated into pop culture in the 90s, but of course we were mere saplings.
No, but this episode, I mean, it's so heavily rooted in so much.
Yes.
1997 pop culture.
I love the little tag that Sean's like, he asked Feeny if he recalls ever getting stabbed in the back. And of course, that's how Feeny dies, getting stabbed in the back. It's a good one. Also, Topanga gets up from her desk and switches seats with Angela at the beginning of this and doesn't take her pencil with her. She leaves the big pencil on the desk. So now, she's just going to ask Angela for the pencil.
I did
and
notice.
And then Sean's going to get mad about that.
I also noticed between a couple different cuts, Topanga is either holding or not holding that big pencil. It's not consistent. Between a few cuts early on there. There are some shots where it's on her desk and some shots when it's in her hand. And it's not clear that she's like picking it up and putting it down. It's clearly from like two different takes or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's that. That's fun.
I kind of like that. I feel like it plays into the campiness of the episode. Just the overall cheesiness of the whole thing.
Do you have a favorite line in this episode? Because I do.
Ooh, that's a good question.
It's a very cool
one. You say yours.
My favorite line in this episode, and amongst my favorite lines in the entire series, is "We'll always remember he was that tall." I just think such a good reaction line.
Yes.
It's so fucking funny. Like, it is such a stupid but hilarious reaction line. It, like, I don't know, it kills me every time. We'll always remember he was that tall. Just
we'll
like,
always remember he was that
tall. It's so funny. Because, I mean, like, here, the implication is this pencil went all the way through Kenny's head, all right?
Yes.
And is out on the other side. And now they've all just witnessed Kenny be murdered in front of them. And the first line said is, "We'll always remember he was that tall." It's such a good tension breaker. And when I not only is it a hilarious reaction, it also lets you, the audience member, know that, like, this is camp horror. And, like, you're going to like, laugh at the horror. Embrace that. So, that's it.
Yes. That is a great one. And actually, I have another fun fact about that, that was Michael Jacobs' idea. One of mine, I think, might be when, as soon as Feffy and Eric both die, Jack goes over there and he's like heartbroken over Eric. And he's like, "He was my roommate, my friend, my roommate." And then he looks at her and he goes, "I didn't really know her." And I don't know why, just the way he delivers it. He's like, "Oh,
no, it's somebody, Eric.
I didn't really know.
I didn't really know."
Just a last minute thought. Mm-hmm. I do like that one. I also like the Geneva Detention Convention.
The Geneva Detention Convention. That's cool. You know what? Another runner-up for me is, like, it's a shame that Kenny has to die first.
Oh my God.
Kenny, it's obviously not going to be one of us.
Yeah, right? And they all laugh.
That's probably my second favorite bit. I mean, this episode's full of bits. I love all the bits.
Oh my God. I just thought of something else. I thought of something else to prove my theory. Because I was thinking through, you know, how they do the movie lines, like, oh, they're in the movie, the blood in the shower, or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, something else that proves my point. When they get out, Sean says something to Feeny, and Feeny goes, "Just like in the movie, whatever, whatever." Like, he says a line. I recognize that from the movie.
I recognize from the film, A Troubled Young Man.
Yes. Why would Feeny say that if he had no idea what was going on during the dream?
Right. But Sean's dream state has that as a recurring theme of people pointing out, just like in the movie. Yes. So that's that. Which is also kind of a Scream reference, because Scream is constantly just like pointing out other horror movies.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I'm absolutely right, but I think I'm absolutely right about this. Guys.
It's a good theory.
I wonder if anyone has had, I'm sure somebody has had this take before, but I didn't read any, maybe another Boy Meets World podcast. Although I think we're the furthest along now, because we have surpassed Bra Meets World. So I think we are the furthest along Boy Meets World podcast that is on air.
Ooh, Everyone else fizzled out.
It's true. Or they got started during quarantine. There were two Boy Meets World podcasts that started during quarantine, but they're still on like season one and season two. I think we're it.
Sure. Ooh. You heard it here first. You heard it here first, everybody. The whole episode is a dream.
Yep, whole episode is a dream. And
is it a dream? And does well, when does the dream start? Or is the entire episode a dream?
It's hard to say. I would like to think that it starts in detention because it's fresh in Sean's brain, and falling asleep in detention is exactly the kind of thing that Sean would do. But it would not be out of the realm of possibility that this is just a regular, everyday dream for Sean. Especially because it's kind of nightmare-ish. It has those elements of a nightmare. And where would Sean's nightmare take place? At school. In Feeny's class. I'm just saying.
All right. I like it. It's good stuff.
Also, another one of my favorite lines is when Topanga said something about being angry, and Corey's like, angry, upset enough to kill? Anytime Will goes, dun-dun-dun.
Oh, yeah. Love that. The dun-dun-duns. That's a good bit. So many good bits. Everyone just gets to do bits. So many bits.
Oh, it's so funny.
Also, part of what makes this episode just so perfect is that, like, everyone just gets to do the damn thing. There's no one has to hold back. It's so unique, too. It stands out so much from everything else.
It's why it's everyone's favorite, is because we don't have to... It is a part of the plot in that, obviously, this is happening while Corey and Topanga are separated, and we have to know what that happened there in order to know what's happening in this episode. But we get to watch them just be goofy and be together as an ensemble and to explore and play and have fun and be campy. And that is so funny and endearing and just a joy to watch. And it's a little spooky. It's got those elements of horror without being so over the top scary that you can't watch it as a kid. It is the perfect combination of funny, spooky, silly, campy.
I don't know, man. That skull mask, that stayed in my dreams as a kid. It was...
That's true.
A little too scary for me.
And Feeny with the scissors in his back. That was a lot.
Yeah. Oof. Well, are we in MVPs? Do you have any other notes, or should we get an MVP?
I do have a note about Feeny falling to his knees. That looks like it hurts.
It's a stiff. He goes down hard.
Yeah, and they probably did not get that in one take. Another one of my fun facts, ta-da, is this was an episode that was not filmed in front of a live studio audience. This is one of the only few episodes in the series that's not filmed in front of a live studio audience for the purpose of those different camera angles when we're in the library, when we're running through the halls, all of that.
I was about to say, that's another big part of it, is there's so many, like, multi-cam or single camera kind of things where, like, so many visual gags that wouldn't play for a live audience, obviously. Exactly.
Yeah,
And so it's clear, like, it's so distinct in so many ways. Obviously, it's distinct tonally and genre and things like that. But then, yeah, even the camera work is distinct from the rest of the show.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Dun, dun, dun.
I don't want to say it's overall the best episode because it's not even my favorite. I think my favorite is definitely Everybody Loves Stewart, just because Fred Savage is brilliant. And it's such a important message, but it's just so good.
I'll say it's my favorite.
I remember filming, and this is a little behind the scenes of our show for those who have been listening since the beginning. Skylar and I made a trailer later after we made our original trailer, which talked about our favorite characters, our favorite episodes, and that actually got scrapped because it was so long and we couldn't really make up our minds on a couple things. So we had a trailer that included Skylar saying that this was his favorite episode and mine was Everybody Loves Stewart that actually got scrapped. So, of course, none of you have known this from the beginning, but I, of course, have.
Well, we both said it 2 years ago, so it's still true, damn it. It's like when they make The Magician makes you, like, write it down or whatever before.
Yeah. Oh, we should have done that That's what we should have done, is written it down at the beginning and been like, this is my favorite. Because I'm pretty sure I said my favorite character was Turner, which is a total lie. It's Eric. Lie. You know how much I love Eric. I just love him. He's the best. We have to stand.
I mean, I probably said my favorite character is Feeny, which is probably you did. True.
You absolutely did.
Yeah.
a fun fact, but just an interesting tidbit that I noticed that I don't think a lot of kids who are watching this for the first time or just younger people will understand is Eric runs back to the payphone and he checks for loose change. And that was a motion that I was just like, what is he? Oh yeah, he's looking for loose change. And as a kid who didn't grow up with, like, I grew up with payphones, but if you were born after a certain time, you didn't grow up with payphones. You probably have never even seen a payphone in your life. And so kids who are probably watching the show for the first time, I wonder if they know what he's doing.
I think they do.
You think
so?
You
know why? Because I don't know, I was about to be really confident in this, but then I just realized. So my point was going to be that, like, I did the same shit with vending machines, and my theory was then that, like, kids still do that same shit with vending machines.
But now...
But there are a lot of credit card readers on vending machines.
Yep.
So...
That's true.
I still think it probably makes sense, but my quick dispute of it's the same as a vending machine is not quite as airtight now that many credit card or many vending machines have credit card readers on them.
Yes. Another little continuity error, I suppose, is Jack goes over to the window and he's like, if I can't live in my apartment, whatever. Angela comes out to comfort him and she's like, hey, don't worry about it. You and Sean can pay the rent. Sean doesn't work. He doesn't have a job. Jack is covering his part of the rent. I don't think Sean is working at all or contributing at all.
Well, isn't there an episode later where, like, Sean finds out, I think it's after Chet dies, they're going through shit, and he finds out that, like, Jack was, like, covering, not all of it, but, like, a certain sizable cost of something, and Sean, like, takes all his clothes off, and he's like, did you buy this shirt, huh? Right?
Yes, exactly.
It implies Sean pays rent, but doesn't pay the full amount that he theoretically would, but he also doesn't know that.
Yes, correct. Interesting. It's just an interesting tidbit, knowing it's a dream of Sean's, and then also him knowing that, like, he doesn't have a job, he can't help with the rent any more than what he would maybe in theory already be paying.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. It's continuity, but then it's within Sean's own subconscious, so it's whatever he perceives about it. And so, yeah, keeps going. It's like Inception. All right, well, who's your MVP?
My MVP is Sean. And I think I know that he's the killer, but in my whole theory about this being his dream, he came to this conclusion on his own of, this is out of my control. I can't manipulate the situation. Unfortunately, this is something that I'm just going to have to process in my own way and come to terms with. And he came to that conclusion on his own. And it took a scary dream to discover it, but sometimes we got to go through our big emotions to get to the real shit.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. If we are to subscribe to your theory, your dream theory, then Sean's kind of the only option because he's the only active player then.
Yeah.
No one else is really an active player if we subscribe to the idea that, like, it's all a dream.
That's true.
Even the moment with Feeny at the end. So I will second you and say, yes, Sean is the MVP.
Nice. Yeah. Well, that's all, folks. We did it. We made it. It happened. We finally got there.
Dun-dun-dun.
We have hit one of two favorite episodes that we have talked about. Obviously, mine will come much later, but we'll get there, and I'm excited about it. Dun-dun-dun.
I'm just going to start. I should have been adding it in the whole time. That would have been really fun to just add in some dun-dun-duns
right?
And some scary sounds. Maybe just, like, underscore the entire episode with, like, a scary soundtrack.
Right. Or just cut your little dun 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 and put it.
Yeah, cut the dun 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 and just shove it in other places.
Like, and then I'll leave this in, yes. So they know it wasn't there the whole time, and I just edited it.
Oh man, I might do that. I personally think that's hilarious, but I'm not the editor, so I'll leave that to you.
That might happen.
Let me give you a clean one real quick here. Dun dun dun. There you go. In case you want to go for it.
Love that.
Thanks for listening, y'all. We really appreciate it. We hope that you have enjoyed this episode as much as we do. I've said it before, it's my fave, so I was very excited to watch it. I've definitely watched it so many times. I was quoting it along with the episode, much to Sarah's chagrin. I was that asshole. I'm probably not a super fun person to, like, watch this show with, I'm coming to realize, because, like...
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree.
So maybe there's that realization for myself. It's, you know, because I think about, like, watching a movie with somebody who's, like, a little too into the movie, and I'm like, could you stop?
Yeah, cool. Right?
There's
so much pressure for the other person to enjoy it because they know how much you're enjoying it. And if they say, like, one thing that's, like, that doesn't align with how you view the show, you're like,
If I had to pick a movie that I'm also not fun to watch with, it's Jim Carrey's The Grinch.
Grinch? Oh, love it. Yeah, I'm not fun to watch. That, really any campy Christmas movie, because I can probably quote all of a Charlie Brown Christmas from start to finish.
Sure. Those are, at least it's like, I feel like with The Grinch, at least, depending on the company, it's better. Because there's certain people out there that are equally enthusiastic about it, like me. Mm-hmm. We're watching it together, we're having a blast.
Yes.
But if you're, like, meh on it, you don't want to watch it with me. I'm going to be too much for you.
That's fair.
Probably true for this show, too. So, but if you're still listening to this podcast, you're probably not meh on the show. So, thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at the various social media platforms that are still operating.
Yes, you can find us on Instagram at the Feeny Call Podcast. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Feeny Call. Let us know. You can either reach out to us on social media or you can send us an email at feenycallpodcast@gmail.com. And what do you think about the theory? Was Sean still sleeping the whole time? Was it?
I want to know. Does anyone else believe this? Because I like this theory.
I know.
To corroborate.
So you can send us an email or leave us a voicemail. The link for our voicemail is in our Instagram bio, and it is also in the description of this episode. So click on that, leave us a voicemail, and we would love to hear if you have a theory on why the killer is still there, if the killer is really in the school. We'd love to chat on that.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, y'all. And as always, fast dismissed.